waiting on God. And everybody goes, ugh. Right? I put a little subtitle down there, In the Dangers of Impatience. I put that small because, you know, nobody likes to think about being patient, but there is benefits to waiting on the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Father, we thank you today for your grace, your mercy, and how you use, Lord, waiting on you to give us the strength that we need to be the kind of men and women of God you want us to be. Bless this time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm, you guys mind if I just turn this other light off too? It's plenty light. Cast a little glare on this. Psalm 27:14, the psalmist tells us to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. He says, be of good courage. And sometimes it does take courage to wait on the Lord, doesn't it? And then he goes on to say, and he shall strengthen your heart. And then he ends this the way he begins it, wait, I say, on the Lord. Anytime you see in the scripture where something's repeated, it's there for emphasis. We don't want to just read past it. You're in the middle of Psalm 27, and you come across verse 14. Yeah, I need to wait on you, Lord, and you just keep going. But this one verse really emphasizes the need to wait on the Lord. It tells us that we need to be of good courage because sometimes things happen in our lives that can be fearful, and we try to fix it instead of wait on the Lord. But we have this beautiful promise in this verse that if we are of good courage and wait, then he will strengthen our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, some of the examples of people who were impatient, the enemy of waiting on the Lord is impatience. You heard the old boy say, Lord, give me patience and give it to me right now. You know, some of the examples of people who were impatient in the Bible was Moses. In Numbers 20:10, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And of course, that's when he whacked it with his staff, when he was only told to speak to the rock that time. Moses was angry. He had gotten frustrated because of the murmuring. And I can relate to Moses, you know. I mean, I understand there are people who can push our buttons and get us frustrated, and we can become impatient. We want to see them change and behave themselves, but they don't. And so he gave in to his impatience, and he whacked that rock and never made it to the promised land. Another example is Nahum. Nahum, if you remember, was the dude from Syria that had leprosy. And he went to the man of God, and he told him to go dip in Jordan. And Nahum was wroth. That's a King James version of ticked off. And he went away and he said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leprosy. He was thinking he was going to act like Benny Hinn or something, you know, waving his hands and doing this stuff. And instead he told him to just go dip himself in some river. And he says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And so he turned away, and he went away in rage. Now, one of the things I've noticed about being impatient is that typically being impatient brings people to a place of anger. Rage is the word there. When you get impatient, you get angry. Years ago, not long after I was saved, I was dating a girl, and I was getting impatient, and she taught me a little song. She goes, I'm going to teach you a little song. And it went like this. I still remember it. Be patient, be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. when you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember, God is patient too. And remember all the times others had to wait for you. I remember that song because it really spoke to me, because I was acting like Nahum. I was getting ticked off because I was impatient. Another example of impatience is Jonah. We always like to remember the story of Jonah ending in chapter 3, but then there is that fourth chapter with the sun and the gourd and all of those things. And it came to pass in Jonah 4:8, when the sun arose, that God prepared a vehement wind, east wind, and the sun beat on his head, on the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and he wished himself to die and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Dost you do well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry even to death." And you know, isn't that funny? Life is kind of like that gourd. One day everything can be going fine, and the next day whatever was making you comfortable can be gone, and all of a sudden your attitude completely changes. You know, God never promised us that we'd always live on the mountaintop and never have trouble, did he? He said the rain falls and the sun shines on both the godly and the ungodly. And we're going to have mountaintop experiences. We're going to have valley experiences. We're going to have a shadow of a gourd. And we're going to have the sun beating down on us, just like Jonah. And we don't want to be impatient. We know that God will take care of whatever we're going. So we see that impatience brings anger. But now we're going to look at those that are waiting on the Lord and see how it brings victory. So we have this interesting contrast. Do I want to be angry, or do I want to have victory? Am I going to be impatient? Am I going to learn to wait on the Lord? Amen? So let's just look at Job for an example. Here's a man who lost everything. Not only did he have extreme loss, he also had extreme pain. He was in physical pain. Now, I can tell you, I can deal with some things, but I'm a big baby when it comes to pain. I don't like pain. I don't like to hurt. And so losing everything and having extreme pain would be enough. But then, you know, usually discouragement follows. You start saying, "Why is God doing this to me?" Right? And then you have the temptation to start doubting, "Well, if God loves me, why is he putting me through this?" And then, as if you don't have enough, then you got those pillow fluffers, as Kenneth Hagin calls them, who comes along and wants to make you comfortable till you die, and sometimes they want to put you in the grave like his wife, just curse God and die. But in Job 2:10, it says, "In all this, Job did not sin with his lips." Now, you know what? There's a lot of ways to sin, but probably the first way we sin is with our lips. You know, usually the lip sin far precedes any of the other physical actions, because right out of the heart is where the lip sin comes, Jesus said. And Job, in spite of the extreme loss, the physical pain, the discouragement, the doubt, and his wife, who's not helping the situation anyway, Job did not sin with his lips. That means Job waited on the Lord. Now you may say, "Well, when I read Job, I don't see him waiting on the Lord." No, he's waiting on the Lord. You know, you can express how you feel. I think that's one of the big problems with the faith movement, is they teach you not to express how you feel, and you're kind of being phony. Yeah, you can say, "Well, I believe God's going to heal me," but you can also say, "Boy, this headache really hurts." You're not being phony, you're being real. Amen. And so Job was real through the Bible. He's questioning things. He's saying all the things. But he didn't sin with his lips. He still believed in God, and he waited for the Lord. And then we come to Joshua. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, actually. Those gospel old hymns have the word "fit" in there. Have you ever noticed that? Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. And in reality, it wasn't Joshua at all. It was the Lord. It was Jesus Christ. Now, here's an interesting fact. Joshua, he was 101 years old. Now, you know, if God says to you, you're going to have this great battle and you're going to see God move in a tremendous way. You say, oh man, I can't wait for that revival. God promised it to me years ago. Wonder how long I have to wait till you're 101 years old. You know, talk about patience. And so the Bible tells us, and you know the story, we don't need to read the whole thing, but in Joshua 6:10, Joshua had commanded the people saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout, and then you'll shout. And so they're just walking around Jericho once a day for 6 days. And, you know, I think back when my kids were little, and you make the mistake as a parent, you learn, of saying, at 3 o'clock we're going to that birthday party, and from 10 a.m. every 2 minutes till time to leave, they say, is it time now, Daddy? Are we going now? No, not yet. Go play. It's quite a ways off. Oh, I was playing and I came in. Is it time now, Daddy? You know, no, not yet. And so here we see the children of Israel. All they know is what God said. And they're doing what God said. They're waiting on the Lord. They're not pulling their sword out and saying, I don't want to wait. Let's take this giant wall. We can climb up and kill. No. Just walk around it. Go back. Have dinner. Come back tomorrow. And so the ark of the Lord came past the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp, and they lodged in the camp. And so they did this, right? Over and over. And we get into verse 16, it came to pass on the what? Seventh day. Seven is the number of completeness. It represents our time with the Lord. Your seventh day may be 2 years from now, or 5 years from now. Maybe 6 months, maybe next week. We don't know. But it doesn't matter. Your seventh day is the day that you wait until God fights your battles for you. Amen? You don't need to fight your battles. That's why people get impatient. They want to fight their own battle. Wow. Why would you want to fight your own battle? One of the sermons I listened to while I was going to Ada was Pastor Chuck talking about David and Goliath. And I've heard many stories about David and Goliath, but what really struck me on this one is the emphasis on the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. And so it came to pass on the seventh day when the priest blew the trumpet and Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. Then at that time the impenetrable wall of Jericho fell at the hands of God when his people waited to act until they were directed. Waited to act until they were directed. They waited on the Lord. Amen. And then we come to Joseph. You know, Joseph the dreamer from Genesis, when God gave him a dream. You know, the sun, the moon, seven stars bowing down, and his brothers all aggravated. Huh, shall our mother and father and us brothers bow down to you? And of course, they hated the dreamer. Here comes that dreamer again. But when God gives us a dream, he has to prepare us for the fulfillment. And oftentimes, it can be years or even decades until we experience what God puts in our heart. And so you may have a dream, you may have a vision, you may have a word that God spoke to you and said, I'm going to do this in your life. But it may not come when you think it will, but it will come at God's timing. And you may experience a lot of questions and a lot of hurt and a lot of heartache. But if you will wait on the Lord, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Amen. And so he was 17 when his brothers sold him to Egypt. I want to just think about these ages here. 17 when his brothers sold him to Egypt. He was 30 when he was elected the ruler of Egypt, or elevated, excuse me, to the ruler of Egypt next to Pharaoh. 17, 30. You can do the math, right? Now, of those 13 years, at least two of them, he passed in prison. Not a pleasant place to be while you're waiting to be prime minister of all of Egypt. But what is God doing in those times? So there's 11 years of Potiphar's house. And, you know, during that 11 years, God blessed him. And he rose to be the head of all the butlers and all of the staff. He was in charge. He was the director. He had risen to the director's level. You know, Kaylee and Adam have set the date, and I guess they, you know, I don't know. I don't fully understand the pomp they put into weddings, but they have a coordinator. We hired a coordinator. And this is the person who tells you what you need to not do, so they don't have to tell you what you need to not do. You know, no phone cameras when I'm walking down the aisle, Dad. We have a photographer for that, you know. And so the coordinator is going to coordinate all that. Joseph had risen to coordinator. He was the one that was coordinating everything during those 11 years in Potiphar's house. And so he had risen to be the coordinator, the administrator, only to have it all come crashing down by being falsely accused of Potiphar's wife. And so if you take, using our calendar, 365 days a year, you're talking about 4,015 days waiting on God to fulfill the dream he put in your heart. 4,000 days. 4,000 days of waiting. And he's probably thinking just before the Potiphar's wife incident, you know, it's been 11 years. I ought to be getting to the place where God is going to fulfill that dream he put in my heart. And then, of course, you know, he goes to jail and he's thinking those 4,000 years were just wasted. But were they wasted? No. It's never a waste when you're waiting on your dream. When you're waiting on God to fulfill his word in your life, it's never a waste. You may trip and you may stumble and you may fall. You may be falsely accused. You may be rightfully accused. You may not do everything exactly right. But God will fulfill his word in your life if you will wait on the Lord. Amen. So he goes to jail. Now he's falsely accused, he's in jail, he's in the pit, he's alone. I hate being alone, don't you? He's got to be feeling pretty helpless right now. It's one thing to be sold and have the freedom to run a household. It's another thing to be behind bars and lose all freedom altogether. I don't know that firsthand, I'm only speculating. But I would imagine that would make you feel helpless and begin to question God. Say, Lord, you know, I didn't really question you when I was sold to Egypt, and I didn't really question you when I was a servant in Potiphar's house. But this doesn't make any sense. I don't really see how being in jail is ever going to make that dream you gave me fulfilled. I don't know about you, but I've had that conversation with the Lord before. Not been in jail, but I've said, Lord, I just don't see how this is going to happen. I don't see how it's going to work. When the Lord told me to get out of the Air Force and go to Tahlequah and continue my grandmother's work, and I made some wrong choices, and I got discouraged, and I quit going to church, and finally came back to the Lord, and I was sitting in a Burger King parking lot, and I started praying in the Spirit because I so wanted to get to Tahlequah to do what God had called me to do. And I prayed in the Spirit, and then I said, well, I want to know what I said. So I began to interpret and prophesy. And the Lord said, 1 year from today, you'll be in Tahlequah. 11 months and 10 days, I had this conversation that I'm sure Joseph had. Lord, it's been 11 months and 10 days. I don't see how in the world I'm going to be in Tahlequah within a 12-month period, within a year. And yet I was. Isn't it funny how we can think that God is missing the mark, how God doesn't know what he's talking about, how God's timing isn't right on, and yet it is? Don't question God. Just wait on the Lord. And so he's probably thinking all is lost, but no, wait. Waiting on the dream waiting on the, what are you waiting on? Has God put a dream in your heart? Don't give up. Keep waiting. Now, I begin to think about some of the bad times to wait. Waiting to have a tooth pulled is probably something that you don't enjoy. You're supposed to have the tooth pulled at 2 p.m., but the dentist is running late. So you got to sit in that waiting room and listen to someone scream from the back room. That could create a little anxiety. Waiting for a judge to make a ruling that could affect your future, that could make you nervous. Waiting to hear the news of a loved one who'd been in a car accident, that can be heart-wrenching. And we've all experienced things like this where we just don't want to wait. We need to know. We want to get it over with. Have you ever said that? I just want to get this over with, right? But waiting on the Lord can also be exciting. It can be peaceful, believe it or not. It can be joyous. It can be settling. It can be comforting. Why? How can that be? Because we know the future of those that wait on the Lord. Amen. Jesus talked about the farmer who waits for all of the harvest to be ready. You know, we want Jesus to come today, but that's selfish. The Lord is not coming because he's wanting all the harvest to come in. See, there's benefits to waiting, and the Lord knows it. And so when we understand the benefits to waiting, we can settle down and have peace and say, you know what? If not waiting, if being anxious brings rage and anxiety, and if waiting on the Lord brings me to a place of peace, then Lord, I need to know how to just wait on you. In Luke 24:49, Jesus was speaking of an event of power. And he said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem." And by the word, that tarry means wait. "Until you be endued with power from on high." And then we read in Acts 1:4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'Ye have heard of me.'" And so the greatest revival in the first church was because people followed God's direction, Jesus' direction, to wait on the Lord. Now, Isaiah chapter 40, actually the book of Isaiah, has 66 chapters, and there are 66 books in the Bible. And when you study Isaiah, in fact, some have even said that part of Isaiah was written by a different person, because the first 39 chapters are all focused on the letter of the law. And from 40 on, which would be 40th book is Matthew, from 40 on is all about God's wonderful grace. And so we see a beautiful type and shadow of the Old and the New Testament in the chapters of the book of Isaiah. So in chapter 40, there is the question, and I would encourage you to read the whole chapter. In it, God basically says, "I'm the one who holds the universe in the span of my hand. I hold all the oceans. I cup them in my hand. Is there anything too hard for me? I'm God." And then he gets to verse 21. He says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sits upon the circle of the earth and inhabits thereof. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as curtains, spread them out as tents that dwell in, that brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them all away as stubble." Now, if you're one of these people that spends a lot of time watching the news, I would watch the news with the remote in one hand and these two verses in the other and not get freaked out over Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or any of these other cuckoos, because God said, I'm going to blow them away. Don't worry. And then he goes on to say, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and behold, he created all things, he who has created all things, that brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatest of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Who says, thou, O Jacob, and speaks, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hath you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. What a glorious, glorious promise to everyone that believes. Shall the God of the earth not do it? Whatever you're believing God for, whatever you're standing on, whatever verse you're quoting back to him, he's God. There's nothing he can't do. The only way that God's plan for your life would be forfeited is if you quit waiting on the Lord. Just hold on and wait. When you think about waiting on the Lord, actually, it sounds like it should be the easiest thing in the world. And if it were not for the devil to tempt you with fear and anxiety and doubt, it would be the easiest thing, because it's like walking around a fortified city once a day. It's like just sitting down and saying, I think I'll just wait and see what happens. Have you ever had a situation that you didn't know how to handle? You know, the way I handle situations that I don't know how to handle is I don't do anything. And what I have learned by not doing anything is I'm really doing a lot. I'm waiting and letting the Lord handle it. And he does it so much better than me. Amen. And so we see that those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Now, this implies that when they decide to wait on the Lord, maybe their strength wasn't nearly as strong as it needed to be. Maybe they come to that junction in life where they're ready to throw their hands up and quit, toss the Bible aside and quit going to church because God doesn't make sense, or God's not fair, or God doesn't care, or God doesn't love me. But their strength is weak, their strength is failing. But they say, well, maybe I'll just wait and see what God does. And the first thing we see that God does when we wait on him is he renews our strength. He gives us strength where we once had no strength. He increases our strength. And then when we wait on the Lord, we mount up with wings as eagles. And you know, the eagles, they fly so high that they catch that current, and all of a sudden it ceases to be work. They are just riding the high winds of the current. They stretch out their wings, and they don't have to flap, and they don't have to work. There is no effort. They just rest on the currents of Almighty God. They run, and they are not weary. They walk, and they don't faint. We know the Lord is coming very soon. I don't know when. Maybe Eddie's right. Maybe this April we'll all go up. Maybe we won't. I know the Lord is coming soon. It's pretty obvious. I think all of us agree the Lord is coming soon. And if, pre-adventure, the Lord doesn't take us out this spring or summer or fall, if, pre-adventure, that we are still here during times of war or famine or pestilence, I believe we are not appointed to wrath, and the Lord will take us out before His wrath comes. So what do we do if we face these calamities? We wait on the Lord. And then He will come, and He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces and rebuke the people. And the rebuke of His people shall be taken away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. And it will be said in that day, lo, this is our God. What? We have waited for Him. And He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. And we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Amen. Come on up, Nola. So, what are you going to do? Going to wait on the Lord. Amen. What are you going to do? Going to wait on the Lord. I think there have been many times in my life when, like that child of mine, I kept saying, Father, now? No. Not yeah. Not now. Wait. Now? No. Not now. Wait. Now? Gotta be now, right? No. Not now. Wait. Years ago when I was doing kids ministry, someone asked me to have a children's choir. I'd never done a children's choir before. And we had this song that we did where it was called Born Again. It's not the heavy one. It's a different one. It's a little upbeat. And it had this grandiose finish where I had the youngest of all the little kids come out at the last, where they're singing this reprise over and over again, and he comes out to the mic and he goes, thank God I'm born again. That's the way it ended. But because of this thing repeated, he would keep messing up and coming out too early. So I'm sitting on the front row and they're singing the song and they're coming to this grandiose ending where they're repeating it, and it goes so many times, and he keeps going, and I go, no, not now. And he whispers, now? No, not now. Now? No, not now. Now! And he comes out and he does this thing right on cue, and everybody just went berserk and clapped and applauded and shouted and thought that was just the greatest thing. And we're all that kid. We're just, Daddy, now? And we want to see the Lord. We want to see our loved ones that have gone on before. But there will be a day after repeated questions when the choir director of choir directors will say, now, now. And we will see the Lord, and we will experience the victory of our salvation. And until then, we wait. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the great counsel of Your word that reminds us that they that wait upon the Lord will renew our strength. I pray, Lord, this morning for anyone here. Maybe they're facing some uncertain things. Maybe they're facing some trials. Maybe they want the mountaintop, but they're in the valley, and it doesn't look like there's ever coming out. Lord, remind us of Joseph's thousands of days, his 2 years in prison. Remind us of the patriarchs before us who paved the way and showed us the benefit of waiting on the Lord. And help us to be faithful and persevere and keep on keeping on until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
You want to sing that song?
Sure.
Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.